Hands up if you really like birthdays. Anyone really like birthdays? Okay. Why do you like birthdays?
Just seeing all your friends and having a big party.
Seeing your friends having a big party? Anyone here, why do you love birthdays? Why do you love birthdays?
Because you get all the attention.
You like all the attention?
I like all the, presents.
The presents. Does anyone else like getting presents on their birthday? Okay, hands up. Who can tell me the very best present they ever received on a birthday? Mac.
Lego Ninjago sets.
Lego Ninjana sets, I think that was. Heath, what about you?
A bike.
A bike. That's a pretty good present. What about you?
Don't know.
You can't remember. That's okay. Anyone else? Best present you ever received on your birthday?
A giant Lego set.
A giant Lego set. What about you?
I'd like space rockets.
Space rockets. Fantastic. There's some great presents there. I don't know about you, but I love birthdays. And that little girl up there, she really loves birthdays. You guys are good. You're very, very good. But does anyone here have two birthdays? Hands up if you have two birthdays every year. Ooh, not many of you. Well, listen, you have three birthdays. That's fantastic. Would you know, the amazing thing is, if you've ever become a Christian and given your life to Jesus, you now have a second birthday. And that's good news, isn't it? A second birthday. Your first birthday is when you were born, which you celebrate. But your second birthday, when you become a Christian and give your life to Jesus, Jesus said it's like being born all over again, and you're born into God's family. Isn't that an amazing thing? That actually you have a natural birthday, but also you were born a second time when you became a Christian and asked Jesus into your life. And just like you and I would get presents on our birthday, Jesus gives some amazing presents to us when we are born again, when we give our lives to Jesus. And we're going to read a verse together that tells us three amazing things Jesus gives us when we give our lives to him. So guys, I want you to help me by reading this together. Okay, ready? I'm going to read. Let's read this together. For God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of self-control. Wow. So who can tell me the three things that God gives us when we become a Christian? Three things that are up there.
Spirit.
The spirit of
fear.
Not a spirit of fear, but a spirit of
power. Love and self-control.
Yes, fantastic. Brilliant. Well done. When we give our lives to Jesus, he takes away our fear, and instead he gives us power, love, and self-control. Very, very exciting. So we're going to look at each one of these things and play a few games together. So firstly, Jesus takes away our fear. Now, just wave at me if you ever get afraid of anything. Anybody ever get afraid of anything? Now, is anybody here afraid of going to the dentist? Phil Cox is afraid of going to the dentist. What about snakes? Anyone afraid of snakes? A few of us. What about spiders? Spiders? I'm afraid of spiders, I have to admit. What about dogs? I mean, that's a scary-looking dog, isn't it? Also, there are some really unusual fears that people have. So, for example, some people are afraid of chickens. Anybody here afraid of chickens? You're afraid of chickens. Or flowers. Some people are afraid of flowers. Or some people are afraid of gold. And even some people are afraid of beards. Anybody here got a phobia of beards? Elijah, we'll pray for you afterwards particularly. But you know, the truth is, all of us get afraid of stuff, don't we? And often we're afraid of things that are actually really serious. Sometimes we can be afraid that people aren't going to like us, or people aren't going to love us, or people are not going to want us. We can be afraid, actually, of some really, really big stuff. But here is the good news, guys. God's love is much bigger than any of your fears. Isn't that good news? God's amazing love is bigger than anything that you are afraid of. In fact, the Bible says that God pours out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And we're just going to invite my friend Phil Cox and Nathan Cox just to come up and do a little demonstration. So guys, could you just welcome them up? I think you guys need to actually come up on the stage. Now, these guys are just going to demonstrate why we don't need to be afraid, because what's going to happen is Nathan is going to fall backwards, and apparently it looks like he's going to bang his head on the stage or something really serious, but let's just see what happens. Go for it, guys. Oh, well, let's try that again. One more time. Oy! Right, one more time. Fantastic. Very. Let's give them a round of applause. Now Nathan didn't look scared at all, did he? Why do you think Nathan wasn't scared of banging his head on that floor? Can anyone tell me? Why wasn't he scared?
Because he's big, a boy.
Yeah, because his daddy is a big boy. That's right. Who else can tell me? Why wasn't Nathan scared of falling on the floor?
He probably did it lots of times.
They might have done it lots of times. They might have practiced one or two times. You never know. Anyone else tell me, why wasn't Nathan scared of falling on the floor?
Because he might have knew that his dad was going to help him.
Brilliant answer. Fantastic answer. The reason that Nathan wasn't scared is because he knows his dad really, really loves him. And that means he doesn't need to be afraid. But guys, do you know what? It's exactly the same with God. God is your father. He's your heavenly daddy. And his love is for you is so much bigger than your fears that you don't need to be afraid of anything, because his love is much, much bigger. And if I can talk to everybody at this point, I want to say this, that fear is one of the most socially acceptable sins in the church. It's one of the most socially accepted sins in the church. Because what fear really is it's placing your hope, your trust, your faith in something more than God's love and promises over your life. In fact, fear, in many ways, is the biggest idol that we come across in our own lives. And an idol is simply something you have to check with before you say yes to God. Did you get that? An idol is something you have to check with before you say yes to God. Let's just be quiet just for a moment. Thank you. So, for example, if you're in your workplace and someone opposite you is sick and you hear the Holy Spirit saying to you, I would like you to pray for that person. If you've got an idol of fear in your life, you've got to check with the idol before you say yes to God. You're going to say, well, Lord, let me just first check with my fear of embarrassment or my fear of failure. No, sorry, Lord, I can't do that. My fears won't let me. Or what if he asks you to start a brand new business and you're like, just hang on a sec, Lord. Just check with my fear of failure and my fear of poverty. No, sorry, Lord, I can't start a new business. My fears won't let me. Fear is an idol so often in our life, something we have to check with before we say yes to God. I want to say to us, church, we must not tolerate fear in our life. And wherever you find fear, it is an illegal imposter in your identity that God did not put there. Because actually, the moment that you gave your life to Jesus, he gave you a spirit of power, love, and of self-control. That's what you've received. So God has taken away our fear. So let's look at these three things that God's given us. Firstly, power. Arrgh. In the place of fear, God gave us his power. Now, just wave at me if you're feeling powerful here this morning. Anyone feeling powerful? Some of you are not waving because you know what's coming. I need two volunteers from this team, two volunteers from this team, and two volunteers from this team. So let's have two volunteers. We'll pick someone from down here. Yeah, okay, you come up here. In fact, could you come up on the stage by this table? And let's have another. Let's have maybe a grown-up volunteer. Come on, let's have a grown-up volunteer. Someone. Tom Heisman, come on down. If you can come and join us over here. Let's have a child volunteer from down here. Yeah, brilliant. Come and join me. If you can go and stand by that table, that'd be fantastic. And let's have an adult volunteer, shall we, from this section. Someone who's, yes, fantastic. Come on, Phil. Let's give a round of applause to Phil Mardlin. He's going to come and join us as well. And then someone from over here. Yeah, do you want to come up? Do you want to come and stand here? And a muscular-looking adult. Let's... Yes, come on. Come on, Jack. Come on down. Let's give these guys a round of applause. So what we're going to do here is we're going to have a bit of an arm wrestling contest. And, yeah, a little bit of a mismatch here. Carol's going to come up and help me just organize these guys. So we're going to have reds against greens, greens against blues, and blues against reds. Okay, so... So, Carol, these guys are on the same team, so they need to go on different teams. So guys, your job is simply to cheer for your team, okay? You're to cheer for your team. And there's a very even matchup on these. Okay. So let's just hear it for the blues. Let's hear it for the greens. Let's hear it for the reds. Okay. So guys, I want you to get your arms on the table, take the strain, and Carol's going to be the judge of who wins this arm wrestling contest. And so when I count three, you're to go, and let's just cheer these guys on and see who's the most powerful this morning. Okay, so here we go. Ready? On your marks. 3, 2, 1, go! Come on. Whoa. Come on. Come on. Oh, fantastic. Come on. Come on. It's Tom and Phil. Oh, it's Tom and Phil. Oh, oh. Oh, oh, come on, Tom. Oh, wow. Wow, we have a winner. So, Phil, which team are you from?
This one.
Green.
Green team, so we have a point for the greens. And who won in this match here? And what team are you from?
I forgot.
You're on that side, so you're the blue team. The blue team, you also get a point. And let's just hear over here, how did you get on in your arm wrestle?
I won.
You won! Fantastic. And which team are you from?
Red.
The red team. Fantastic. Right, you guys can go and sit back down. So there's some prizes for the winners. So if you're a winner, you get a bag of sweets to distribute amongst your team. Just to say, parents, if you don't want your children to have sweets, now is the time to dive in. Now, just as we saw those guys arm wrestling and they were putting all their strength into their arm wrestle, something amazing happened when you gave your life to Jesus. He put his power into your life. His grrr. Come on, guys. Let's hear a little bit more grrr. He put his power into our life. And that's very good. And the word that's used there is the same word that we get dynamite from. Now, does anyone here know what dynamite does? What does dynamite do?
It explodes.
Yes, it explodes. When you set dynamite off, it goes boom. And the Bible says that God's power is like dynamite. And God puts his strength in us by the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says that it's the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. Just think about that. The same strength that raised Jesus from the dead now lives in your life. if you are a follower of Jesus. That is amazing. Now, let me ask you guys a quick question. Why do you think that God put his power in your life? What does he want you to do with the power that he's put in your life? Does anyone know? What are we meant to do with the power he's put in here? Hands up. Anyone tell me? Okay, we're going in for an answer. Why do you think God gives us his power?
I don't know.
You don't know. That's a very honest answer. Well done. Anybody else? Nathan, got any clue? Why does God give us his power? What might he want us to do with it?
So we can protect ourselves.
Very good. So God gives us his power so we can protect ourselves and protect other people. Anybody else? Why does God give us his power? What is it for?
Put people to jail.
Putting people to jail, possibly.
So we can sing, I've got the power.
So we can sing, I've got the power, yes. Now, these are all very good and creative answers, aren't they? Here are some alternative answers that I thought you might come up with. God gives us his power so that we can love people powerfully. You got a double whammy there. That's why God gives you his power, that you can love people in the same way that he does. He also gives us his power so that we can pray for people powerfully. That we can pray for the sick. That we can help those who are hurting. These are the reasons why God gives us his power to change the world and bless other people. Well, what about his love? Let's have a little look at love. This is the second thing that God gave us. And we're going to play a quick game here. And what we're going to do is we're going to look at a series of pictures of famous couples who were in love. Famous couples who are in love. And there is a representative team member at the front of each row who has a clipboard and some paper. And you guys are the scribes for your team. So over here we have Elijah for the red team. Well done, Elijah. Here we have Mel Palmer for the green team. And we have Mika Strange at the front for the blue team. Now, kids, what I need you to do is I need you to go to the person who's got the clipboard in your team, because you're going to help them get the answers for this next quiz. Okay? So what you're going to need to do is you're going to need to look at the screen in just a moment. Some music's going to play and some pictures are going to come up. And what I want you to do is I want you to write down the names of both people in the pictures. Okay? You've got to write down the names of both people in the pictures. If you're not at the front, you can just play for fun. Okay? So here we go. There are 10 pictures. I'm going to give you 1 point for each person that you correctly guess. And there will be a prize at the end. Okay, is everyone clear? Everyone ready? All right, let's cue the music and cue the slides. Fantastic. I hope you managed to get all those. So let's just quickly recap. So you need to score yourself one point for every person you got right. So it's the total of 20 points. Okay? So let's go back to that first slide and see who we had there. These are famous couples who fell in love. So first slide is obviously who? Mickey and Minnie Mouse. So if you got that, you get 2 points. Next slide. It's Fred and Wilma Flintstone. Fred and Wilma. Next. Did anyone get this? This is Napoleon Bonaparte and Josephine. Just threw that one in there. Next one. Anyone know who this one is? Shrek and Fiona. Yeah, very famous ogre couple. And these guys, anyone over here know who they were? David Beckham and Victoria Beckham, a.k.a. Posh Spice. Next one. Popeye the Sailor Man and Olive Oil. That'll bring back memories for some of us. Okay, next. Anyone tell me who these guys are? Mr. Incredible and Elastigirl. Yeah, Mrs. Incredible doesn't count. And if you put down Bob Parr or Helen Parr, you get an extra 2 points. So just throw that in there. Next one. Obviously, we have Barbie and Ken. Famous model couple. Next ones. Ooh, anyone know who that is? Andre Agassi and Steffi Graf. Very, very good. And then lastly, this is a bit of a controversial one. This is Bob the Builder and Wendy. Now, they were never officially together, but whenever I watched Bob the Builder, I always thought that they did like each other. So I put them together as a couple. I hope that's okay. So there's Bob the Builder and Wendy. So let's count up your scores, and then I'm going to get you to shout out. So, John and Mika, how many did your team score? 19 out of 20. Very, very good, guys. Okay, what about you guys? Mel, how did you guys get on? 18 out of 20. Very close. And lastly, the red team, how did you guys get on? You got 50 out of 20. You're clearly lying. How many did you get? They got 18, which means that the blue team is the winners. Fantastic. Well, come down and sit on the floor again, just down here. Very, very well done. Would you know, when you give your life to Jesus and you become a Christian, again, something amazing happens, which is God not only gives you his power, but he also puts his love into your life. Wow. And the amazing thing about God's love is that it's not like human love. It's much, much bigger and much, much greater. In fact, the Bible says that God's love reaches higher than the heavens themselves. This is what Psalm 108 verse 4 says. For great is your love, higher than the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies. Now, can you guys tell me how it feels when you know somebody really, really loves you? How does it make you feel when you know somebody really, really loves you? Can anyone tell me? How does it make you feel?
Special.
It makes you feel special. It does, doesn't it? Anyone else? Tell me, how does it feel when you know someone really loves you?
Emotional.
It can make you feel emotional, that's right. How can it make you feel?
Happy.
Yeah, really happy. What about you?
Happy.
You're happy as well. Let's see. Are you happy as well?
Makes you feel protected.
Fantastic answer. Makes you feel protected. Adults, how does it feel when you know someone really loves you? You didn't think I'd do this, but here I am. Hands up. How does it make you feel when you know someone really loves you? Pardon? 10 feet tall. Yeah. It makes you feel amazing. Anyone else? How does it make you feel? How does it make you feel? Yeah, fantastic. When you know that somebody really, really loves you, it makes you feel special, important. It makes you feel courageous. It makes you feel brave. It makes you feel like you could do stuff that you couldn't before. When you know somebody really, really loves you, it changes you on the inside, doesn't it? And the amazing news is that God himself loves you with his love. And that means that just like you're happy when someone else loves you, we are changed on the inside when we know God's love. So I just want you to nudge someone next to you and just say, you should be happier than you are because God loves you more than you realize. Okay? Do you know, the great news is the church family should be a very, very happy place because this is a place where we find the love of God. So lastly, as we come to a conclusion, let's come to our third thing that God gives us, which is self-control. Self-control. Now, kids, Carol, my lovely assistant, is going to come and give you each something in just a moment. Now, listen very carefully, kids. Shh. Carol is going to give you each a Haribo sweet. Now, again, parents, if your kids can't eat Haribo sweets or don't like Haribo sweets or could choke on Haribo sweets, please come forward now. Now, listen. I want you to not eat your sweets. I gave that instruction too late, didn't I? Okay. If you've already eaten your sweets, we will come by in a minute and give you another one. But for now, I want you just to hold your sweet in your hand and we're going to watch a very, very short video on the screen, okay, in just a moment. Now, put your hand up if you've already eaten your sweets. Okay, the red team were very eager. So take a Haribo, hold it, but don't eat it. And in a moment, I'm going to say you can eat it, but we're going to watch a short little video to show us something about self-control. So guys, if we're ready, let's cue the video. Here we go.
We've given these willing test subjects a Haribo Star Mix sweet with a promise that if they can resist it, they can have another one. Let's see what happens.
Don't do it. No, don't.
Is clear. Haribo's just too good. Greedy chops.
Okay, so apparently they're irresistible, but hands up if you've still got your sweet. Look at this. This is evidence that there is self-control in the building. Guys, well done. Really well done. You can go ahead and eat your sweets now if you want to. Now, self-control is very simply this. That wasn't very loud, was it? Self-control is simply this. It's God giving us the ability to say yes to the right stuff and no to the wrong stuff. That's really what self-control is. So when you see that chocolate biscuit that you know you shouldn't really eat, self-control says, I can say no to that. Or when God says, listen, will you just go and love that person or pray for that person? You can go, yeah, I'm going to do that because I've got self-control in here. It means when maybe you feel like you're tempted to be angry, self-control says, I am not getting angry right now. Or if someone's nasty to you and you're tempted to be nasty back, you can say, I'm not going to be nasty back. And that's what self-control is. See, the amazing thing is that God has made you and I incredibly powerful people that can say yes to him and no to the wrong stuff. And he has put self-control in our life. Can anybody tell me bad stuff that we can say no to? What bad stuff could we say no to? Anybody tell me? Hand up if you've got an idea. Bad stuff we could say no to.
If a biscuit was made out of chocolate and
A dark chocolate biscuit. Excellent.
Temptation.
We could say no to temptation. Let's just go over here. What could we say no to? Bad stuff.
Not to steal sweets from your mum's cupboard.
Not stealing sweets from your mum's cupboard. That was a very good answer. What other bad stuff could we say no to?
No fighting.
No fighting. Yeah, very good.
No bullying.
No to bullying. Brilliant.
No kicking people.
No kicking people. That's an excellent one. What about you? What bad stuff can we say no to?
No, be naughty.
Very good. No being naughty. That was such a good answer. Well done. Let's have one more. What else can we say no to?
Criticizing people.
Brilliant answer. We can say no to criticizing people. There's all sorts of stuff, actually, that we get tempted to do, but because the Holy Spirit lives in you, you can say, I'm not doing that stuff, even in a high-pitched, squeaky voice. Well, what good things could we say yes to? What good things could we say yes to and do?
A sweet.
We can say yes to a sweet. What about good stuff that we can serve and do to other people?
Being kind.
Say that again.
Being kind.
Being kind. Brilliant answer. What else? What good stuff can we say yes to?
Giving them food.
Give them food. Yeah, perhaps people don't have food.
Being polite.
Being polite. Brilliant answer. What good things could we say yes to?
Stealing.
Not stealing. What's the opposite of stealing? What do we do when we don't steal? We give, don't we? Like give stuff to people. What else? What good stuff can we say yes to? Shh, listen up.
If someone's in the corner, you could go over to them and play with them.
That was a great answer. I don't know if you heard that. He said, if you see someone who's lonely and in a corner and they haven't got any friends, you can go up to them and speak to them. Isn't that amazing? That is such a good answer. By the Holy Spirit, you've been given a spirit of power, of love, and of self-control. When you gave your life to Jesus, this is what he put in your heart. Isn't that amazing? Should we just applaud Jesus and just thank him for what he's given us? All right. Well, I'm going to just invite you to stand quickly before we finish. Kids, you can go back to your parents if you'd like to now. Thank you so much for your help this morning. You are absolutely amazing. Let's give these kids a round of applause. They were absolutely brilliant, weren't they? Really well done. Really, really well done.